Hey guys, welcome to Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. This is Kirk, and I've got a little intro today. Just to give you a heads up, we had a small technical issue on this this week's episode. For some reason, we picked up an AM radio station. Part of the broadcast, just to let you know we're aware of it, and we're working on it, and hopefully it's a one-time thing. But we hope you enjoy this week's episode. Guys, have a great week. You can do it. Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Kirk Smith, and my co-host and buddy,
Graham K. Hey, what's up, buddy? Good to do another episode.
We're doing it.
We're doing it. We've been lax over the past little while, and you know, it's just nice to get back out there, be more consistent. I'm excited you're living in New York.
I'm back.
I'm excited. We're gonna be doing it in person. And I think it's cool that we did like a year in person in LA. We're going to do who knows how long in New York in person.
If you ever come back to New York, yeah, for sure.
Yes. Yes. Still in Canada. Still in Ottawa and visiting the folks, visiting my brother.
How's your brother doing?
He's doing great. My brother's doing great. So my brother has autism, if you're new, and Kirk's son has autism. And so. Peter is very proficient with the buses, but you have to teach him. He can't just like learn the bus routes and the transit system himself. Like when he was first learning the buses, my dad would follow behind the city bus in a van.
Love it.
And that was when he was in high school. So they pick up all these kids from high school in a city bus, and then there's like a van following the city bus. And the bus driver pulled over, got out, and was like, "Are you some sort of pedophile?"
Like no, it's not. It's not what you think. I'm following those kids.
Yeah. That's when he's like, my dad's like, "No." He had to explain. And I was like, "Okay." But that's my dad was actually like happy. He's like, "I'm glad that they actually cared enough to pull over." This is like a city bus employee. He's not like a school bus.
Wow, that's very Canadian.
Yeah. Well, I like to think that. America also doesn't support pedophilia.
I agree, but can you imagine that happening in Brooklyn? The bus driver pulling over and be like, "Excuse me, sir, are you following this bus?"
Yeah, I don't know. Don't say stuff like that. It makes me wish I should. It makes me think I should move back. I think so.
I'm sure you're right. I'm sure that's how Brooklyn is.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
I think so. I don't know.
I interrupted your story.
But anyway, So there is a new little tiny subway that is happening that just got opened in Ottawa. It's all the talk of the town. Ooh, Ottawa's got a little subway.
Baby.
It goes underneath the downtown core and then pops back up. So it's basically a subway for 3 minutes, 5 minutes. But
it counts.
It counts. And so basically all of Peter's bus knowledge from the past decade needs to be rejigged, and he has to relearn it and everything like that. He's got to take a bus to the train and then a train. So he's getting, there's free rides and he's on them and he likes them, but there's a lot of problems with the train. The train is new and it's like front page news in Ottawa that this is so dumb. And the trains keep stalling and the whole service shuts down because the doors are like the doors close too early, so people are holding open the doors and then the doors get locked and the whole system shuts down and people are waiting on a platform for 45 minutes and it's just like overloading of more and more people because the stupid doors. It's like such an Ottawa problem, like they didn't think about the doors. And so this is an issue for Peter because like if that happens to him, he's, you know, it's not life or death. It's not like he's a brain surgeon and there's a surgery he's got to get to. He's a janitor, but it's like this is real mental stress for him. He doesn't know what to do. The schedule.
Well, it's outside. It's outside of what he's planned for. It's outside of the norm. Yeah. It's outside of his schedule.
Yeah, and so my mother's worried about the new subway thing and. And then what about in the winter? Because my mother said this morning, it was like designed by a French company, like from Europe, not Quebec. And so they don't know what the deal is with real winter. And so she thinks it's going to shut down in the winter. It's going to be a huge issue. Like, there was a bus strike like 5 years ago my brother still talks about. He talks about it once a week to me. He's like, man, I just can't believe those bus drivers asking for more money. Don't they know I got to clean a clean a burger place? You know, and so he's, so it's an issue. It's like little things like that, you know, you don't.
We're kind of joking, ahead. But at the same time, that's like one of the, I'd love for JJ Bill to ride the bus by himself. He's not there yet, but that where, you know, Peter can. We talked about different kinds of people on the spectrum and different severities, but that's one of them mm-hmm. where you can read the bus schedule, show up there, see it's mm-hmm. bus 23, get off at the right stop, get on bus 45. Yeah, JJ's just not there yet, but that's one of the goals. You know, we started having him ride the bus, so that's one of the goals.
Yeah, I mean, so you are having him ride the bus.
He rides the bus with an aide, but the idea is that he gets used to it and kind of like does a dry run. You know, and then eventually, hopefully, he can ride it on his own. You know, but if there was a strike or anything out of the norm, anything out of the routine, that would not be good.
No, it's scary. Do you think that it's within the realm of possibility? Like, truthfully,
I do, and I think it's good. I mean, I take risks, and so I feel like, okay, well, if he gets, you know, if there's a strike and he gets off, well, then somebody go track him down. I mean, you gotta live your life. I don't know. I think it's, listen. You either do that, and then you once in a decade, you get stuck at a bus stop for an hour and somebody has to come find you and you're a little upset. Or you what? Live in your apartment the rest of your life and play video games and watch movies?
I agree.
Go do it. And then, okay, you cry. Okay. I just moved to New York. I'd rather fail miserably, move back to New York, and go back to L.A. with my tail between my legs or wherever, than not try it. I could have done. Just do it. And then you're probably going to fail. Probably. I fail a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think take your shots.
Totally. And I think that's has been my parents' position.
Yeah.
And there's a whole sort of movement of autism education where it's sort of sink or swim type.
Yeah.
You throw them out there. What's her name? She's got that. We had her on the podcast. She's like the most famous autistic person. What's her name?
Temple Grandin?
Temple Grandin feels that way too.
Yeah.
You know, just throw them out there.
Yeah, she calls it, the loving push or something?
The loving, that's what I'm trying to get at. Yeah, exactly. So it's sort of like a loving push. And I honestly think that if your son, because in the past year, he's shown such great improvement.
Yeah.
For our listeners who are new, Kirk's son is nonverbal. But he has done stuff like he looks up stuff on the internet and does Google searches for things he likes.
Pizza,
he
computers,
in,
yeah.
Yeah, that's hilarious. he types in the words.
I agree.
If you can type in the words, you can know what a 40 is, at least symbolically what a 40 is.
Yeah, little squiggly lines in the circle. Yep, I agree.
Yeah, that means that's the bus that takes me to the aquarium that I like.
That's how I get to the IKEA to get my meatballs or whatever. I agree.
Whatever. Yeah. That's all you know about Sweden. That's hilarious.
No, that's his favorite, though. That's his favorite.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah.
Good for him. I don't blame him.
That's sauce. It's quality meatballs, man. $4. What do you want?
When you mash together the cranberries, the gravy, and the mashed potatoes on one slurry, woo, baby, that is good stuff.
I feel like when I go there, we go to IKEA every day. I know it sounds funny, but he loves it. It's nutrition. It's okay. It's not, you know, it's not just French fries. He's having some actual food, and it's great.
Yeah. That's great. Hey, and you got to spoil him when you're there, you know?
That's it. That's what I got to do. Speaking of dietary and digestive issues, we have an interview. You wanna segue
very
this?
Very special. Yeah, it's one of our special episodes where we have roving reporter Jill Escher, and I'll let you say the scientist's name she's interviewing. She's at the INFAR. This is from her series where she a few months ago she went up to Montreal, and. Went to this, what's it called? I keep wanting to say festival.
It's a
comedy too long.
It's a
this
conference.
Autism festival.
That's great. It's a conference. Yeah, this
I'm a bad man.
We've got a series of interviews. There's seven of them. This is number five or six, I think. This is
Ruth Ann Luna, who is a PhD at Baylor University down in Texas.
I was gonna say Baylor's in Texas. That's your neck of the woods.
Texas and a Christian school too, man. Wow.
Discuss like that.
Not gonna lie, feels right at home. Discussing the microbes and how it relates to autism, and my favorite topic, poop. Poop.
You love it.
I do. I'm not gonna lie. Let's run this thing.
Hey everyone, Jill Escher, roving reporter for the Autastic Podcast, reporting to you from Montreal, Canada, where I am attending the INSAR conference, the International Society for Autism Research Conference. And one of the bajillion researchers here at the conference is sitting with me right now. Her name is Ruth Ann Luna. Hey, Ruth Ann.
Hello.
Thanks so much for joining us on Autastic today. She is an assistant professor at Baylor College of Medicine. Is that what you
call
it?
That is correct.
Oh, I got it right. In Houston, Texas. She was not swept away in the floods last year. And she's with us today. She's also the mother of two children, one of whom has autism. Yep. And she presented today at this conference about issues relating to the microbiome in autism. Ruth Ann, what's the microbiome?
So the microbiome, and today we really talked about the gut microbiome. So those are all of the bacteria, and mainly we talk about bacteria that are in your gastrointestinal tract. We use the word microbiome mainly to talk about bacteria, but it also includes fungi and even viruses, so all of the microbes. But mainly people talk about bacteria, and we generally assess that by looking at poop.
That must be so much fun.
It is.
So does the microbiome exist from the tip of the tongue to the bottom of the large colon? Like, where does it exist in your GI tract?
In the GI tract, at every single place. There are many of us that will argue that there is not a single site in the human body that doesn't have some sort of microbiome associated with it.
And it's a symbiotic relationship in a way, right?
In most cases, that's what we hope for, right? And it's really the function that those microbes help you with as a human, or the deficits that they may cause if they're working against you in some way.
Are there any known disorders or diseases that are associated with the microbiome?
There are a ton of diseases, disorders, unwanted symptoms associated with a distinct microbiome. Whether they're causative or not is still what we're trying to figure out in a lot of cases. But anything from eczema, so you want to talk about your skin microbiome, to all sorts of GI issues, like even IBS, that have very distinct microbiomes associated with those symptoms.
Got it. So you are obviously interested in the microbiome as it might relate to autism symptoms.
Yes.
Right? Now, it's also true that in a lot of autism cases, these kids and adults have GI distress.
Right.
Right? So that might not be causative of autism, but it might run with autism, might be associated with autism. Like, how many, do you know, like, what percentage of people with autism have GI issues?
You know, it's hard to assess. We did not recruit to say, you know, we wanted particular people. We wanted everyone. If they had a confirmed diagnosis of autism spectrum disorder, then they were assessed for the study. And we saw that well over half of the kids that we included did meet criteria for some sort of functional GI disorder.
I'm not surprised by that. I mean, I see it all the time.
Well, and we also know that there are probably a lot who fit in the non-GI category that, if we could assess them and could communicate with them more effectively, would actually meet criteria for a functional GI disorder as well. And so that's a lot of what we're chasing there. If we can look at what their behavior looks like and what their microbiome looks like, we may actually be able to identify kids who fit that GI dysfunction criteria but just haven't been able to communicate that discomfort before.
Interesting. Yeah. My son actually has had, you know, some low level GI distress, I think, his whole life.
Right.
And my daughter, no, normal. But yeah, I've seen it even under my own roof. At one point it was caused by pathogens. He had parasites.
Ah,
yes. Yeah. So we had to take drugs for that. That was no fun.
So you know what was interesting too?
Avoid Giardia, everybody. Avoid it.
So what was interesting for us, and obviously my son has GI issues, and I've learned quite painfully that GI issues don't present themselves in the same way in our children than they do in the typical population. But what we noticed in the study, we had originally intended to include siblings who did not have GI symptoms. But we had these parents come in. They would give us a laundry list of everything going on with their child with autism. They'd get to the siblings and say, perfectly healthy, no issues. But when the siblings started to complete their two-week diary, where they had to assess abdominal pain, and then when we had actual GI questionnaires that the parents had to ask to the sibling, we discovered that about 50% of the siblings also met criteria as having GI issues. And we're
but
all
the parents didn't know.
No, and we're all guilty of it, right? We know the child we need to be protective of and we need to be watchful over. And then many of us have our normal, healthy child who, well, they're not always the easy one, but they're easier with those types of things. And so, you know, and I think even the siblings have that sort of gauge in perspective of, well, I may be having an issue, but it's nothing compared to what my sibling's going through. So they even downplay their own issues.
Also, if you're the parent, you're not asking your typical kid about his poop.
You aren't. Well, and you know, that's a huge issue with assessing GI issues in children anyway, because how do we determine somebody's having a GI issue? They tell us they're in pain. They tell us something's odd. And so for our kids who can't communicate as well, we don't have the benefit of those signals.
Wish we did.
Yeah, I know.
Wish we did. So tell us, I mean, I know it's really early. You're not completed. You know, your big project at Baylor isn't completed. But what are you finding there, you know, that might make sense to families or might translate into something meaningful?
You know, I think the big finding here is that there is no one specific autism microbiome. So, you know, we've collected a lot of information about behavior, about, you know, what they look like clinically, about what their GI patterns are, too. And we know that there are subgroups within that larger spectrum. And that's a lot of what we're really focused on, because some of these interventions, you know, people want to take probiotics, if people want to do dietary changes, they're not going to work for everyone. So, but they may work for some, and they may work really, really well for some. So that's really what we think we're on the cusp of, and what our goal is. It's sort of my lifelong mission is to find effective and objective ways to subtype within that larger spectrum so that we can get better treatments for all of our kids. Right. And I use the phrase kids because he'll be 50 and he'll still be my kid.
Yeah.
So,
right.
So I think what we're really hoping to do is figure out what potential interventions might be most helpful for which kids, because we know it's not a one size fits all type of option, but we know that probiotics may work for one family and a dietary change may work for another. And now we're seeing, of course, some promising data with fecal transplants, and these are not things that people need to be doing at home, but certainly are things that, you know, in a clinically supervised environment are definitely worth pursuing, but not for everyone on the spectrum.
That fecal transplant study made so much news.
It did. And we see it for, I mean,
and it wasn't your study.
It was not. No, it was not our study. We do fecal transplants at our hospital for recurrent C. difficile infection. So I am intimately involved. It's my lab that actually screens the healthy participants and prepares the golden poop to be translated and to be transplanted. So, you know, we do all of that, and we assess the microbiome pre and post and look if, you know, this is kids. Obviously, are the kids getting better? We've done this for ulcerative colitis as well. And we're certainly interested in doing it in autism, but it's not something that needs to be done for everyone. I think there are very specific profiles.
Right. So if you could find out, like, oh, you know, you have this kind of pathogenic, you know, bacteria or this bad fungus or whatever, that would indicate that maybe this invasive procedure, which it is,
right.
Could possibly benefit you.
And two things. One, we are definitely talking to people about how to make this a less invasive procedure. And because obviously my son being on the severe end of the spectrum, we always assess whether an intervention, the way a study is designed, is accessible or not by whether my family could participate. And so there's so much more to consider with how we do that mindfully, and who should actually be participating in those kinds of studies. But lots and lots of work to do. Definitely something that we're interested in looking at moving forward.
So you showed one slide that was really interesting. So it showed the types of bacteria that you were finding in these daily poop samples. So it was like a 14-day sample. So the poor family had to collect 14 days of poop,
you know, and
from
I,
their kids.
I think most autism families are well-versed in the school of poop. So at least if you think you're doing something productive with your poop, then maybe that was a little more rewarding.
I'm pooping for science.
Yes, pooping for science, pooping for a greater cause.
So 14. How many families participated in the
14
This
was
days?
Just a case study.
Oh, this was
so
a case
was
study.
That was a single
okay.
case study. But we've had other case studies that we've attempted as well because we think that longitudinal, what's happening over time, can mm-hmm. be important.
So what this slide showed, if I recall, was you know that you found certain patterns, right, of the bacteria, but you also looked at the GI symptoms
right.
and the behavioral symptoms
yep.
of the kid. And both seemed to spike at the same time that you saw certain patterns in the mix of,
yeah.
of bacteria. I mean, can
yeah.
you explain that a little bit?
So it, you know, as scientists, rarely do we find what we expect to find, but in this case, we did. And so, you know, when the child was experiencing GI pain, we saw on the same day that there were spikes in self-injurious behavior. In this case, it was head-hitting behavior.
Wow.
And then objectively, that's the big piece here, objectively, we could look at the microbiome in that day's stool sample and see very clear changes that were happening on those exact same days. So,
so really, you're inferring that there was some sort of level of discomfort or pain.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
That this kid couldn't communicate and
right.
led to the self-injurious behavior.
Right.
And right now, I know you're not a medical doctor, you're a researcher,
right.
but what would that family do? Like if they thought, well, okay, this is some GI problem, like what interventions are available?
You know, it is tough to find a GI physician who is well-versed in the current state of science and medicine, and we're all definitely trying to get out there and talk to as many people as we can. I always ask families to, you know, collect their own data, see what's changing in their own household that's associated with changes in behavior or changes in the GI pattern. In our house, we always see sleep pop up first, and so
mm-hmm.
we'll have a very late night or early morning, then literally the poop will hit the fan the next day sometimes. And we see those patterns. And so it's about knowing your own pattern, trying your own interventions to see what alters that.
Right.
The microbiome gut-brain axis, we can talk about, you know, where the chicken or the egg and where the problems are starting. But for us, we just want to interrupt the cycle.
Exactly.
So that's,
we want to help our kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we are out of time here on Autastic, but Ruth Ann, it was great talking about poop
yeah.
with you today.
Anytime.
And hope to have you back here at some point, maybe when you're further along in your research or
that would be
have
great.
More to report.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks.
Well, what'd you think, Graham?
Well, I think one of the things that also, by the way, great job, Jill, as always.
Yeah,
she's
really finding her legs. It was really great. Really great
yeah,
interviews.
Great, interview
had a joke in there that I liked. Pooping for yeah. science. That was terrific.
That was great. Good
singer,
Jill.
Good singer.
The thing that stood out to me, obviously, because it affects me, because I'm a sibling of someone with autism, is that siblings often have, said like 50% of the time or something, over like 53, or I forget what the number was, siblings also have gut bacteria issues.
Yeah, I thought that was very insightful the way she said that, where the siblings go, no, not really, and then they ask specific questions, and they're like, do you experience this, this, and this? Oh, yeah, that I do.
Yeah. Hilarious.
But it's not as significant as what my brother's going through, so I chose to overlook it, which I think is what
sure.
happens a lot.
Certainly. I know that I have it. I have to I'm just better when I have the right kind of yogurt and all that kind of crap. Yeah. And I like that it was great when she was like, you know, people think it's hard to collect poop samples, but
not for us.
Not for us. I just thought of you, of your son, the time he was like shoving poop in a VHS in a VCR.
Perfect.
And I'm just like, I just pictured you pressing eject, and then poop coming out. And you like with the
I've got a Ziploc bag like, prepared, and I push eject on the VCR, and it goes right in the bag. Perfect.
Just with this is a montage of you collecting poop from all over your house, from like drawers, sock drawers, walls, with the Autastic theme song playing in the background. Just dancing around. Woo! Easy peasy.
Listen, there's more where that came from. If you guys need more, I've got this every day. Oh, that's brutal and sad, but true.
It's great. It's good stuff. We're having a party. Oh,
I thought it was interesting too, where she talks about there are different subgroups and different things work for different people. And I think that's a common theme that we've gone back in the last maybe 10 episodes, that it's becoming clear that there's a few different things going on, and there's going to be different solutions for different people.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it works great for one person still doesn't mean it's going to always work exactly the same for the next person.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I get that. You know what? I've actually collected a stool sample in my life and sent it off for gut problems. Like, that's
just a random person's stool or your own stool? The way you said it was
a guy
like...
asked me for it on the subway.
Sir, are you going to do anything with that? Because I'm collecting samples.
Yeah, he gave me $5.
Least you could do is poop in my bag.
Yeah. Well, sir.
Not my purse. My plastic bag.
I'm paying for two apartments this month. Yeah, if you weren't listening last week, I'm paying for two apartments in October.
And he's very happy about it.
I'm really pumped about it. It's good to pay for two apartments in New York in the same month. It's awesome.
I should be staying in that poop-filled apartment. Yeah, it'd be.
Yeah, I'm the new Trump. I'm a New York real estate mogul. Except I don't own; I just rent. So
you buy high, sell low. That's your thing.
No, but I have taken a stool sample, sent it off to a doctor for gut problems, which I've had. It was really bad in my 20s. It's
really?
Still not great. Yeah.
Huh.
But it was really hard to do that. All my training has been not to do it on the floor, and I had to.
Drill.
I had to think past it.
Poop in the living room. That's a tough problem to have.
Well, I had to do it now. It's a lot easier for someone with autism to I guess, than it was for me. Anyway, to collect poop anyway, and that one small thing. But anyway, I think we should do a quick in the news. I know this is sort of in the news, but we have a very quick, we'll end it on a positive note. Delta Airlines is doing a thing where they are allowing, this is new, so this is something you guys should know about. They are,
I agree.
Allowing, if your child has autism, to do a walkthrough like the day before or whenever they schedule it of the airport. You go through security, blah, 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 blah. So your kid learns, is not shocked by the whole experience the day of. Did I get that right?
Yeah, you got it. Should I read it or is that enough, you think?
I think that's enough. It's up to you. You think we should read it?
I just did want to add, it's on CBS News if you Google it. And then there are other programs by American, Alaska, and JetBlue that did the same thing. This article is highlighting Delta, but that's correct. Mm-hmm. All those do.
Oh, great. Excuse me. Well, good for those airlines.
They do like a basic dry run so you can like experience walking through the airport, getting ready to fly, you know, meeting the people, security, boarding, just so you can have a dry run. That really would have helped JJ, I know, he then would have been disappointed if he hadn't got on the plane, but still.
Yeah. Yeah, still. Well, that's a step in the right direction, guys. Did we do it? Did we do another episode?
We did it. What do you got going on this week, Graham?
Oh, boy, oh, boy. You know what? I am going to be in New York for a bit, which is really exciting. I'm excited about it. I've been traveling every weekend for 2 months straight. I'm a little burnt out, to be honest. I am going to be in Bethlehem, Connecticut on the 25th, if you're anywhere near Bethlehem, Connecticut.
25th of what month, Graham?
October 2019. And then, you know what? November, I'm going to be in Chicago at Comedy Bar. Come check me out in Chicago. Great, really fun comedy club called Comedy Bars, and my really good friend John Hastings, who's an extremely funny comedian, is going to be doing guest spots there because he just happens to be in town showcasing for colleges. So it's like a really good double bill. The guy wins awards every year all over the place in Australia and at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Anyway, come on down. Chicago, come see me November 7th, 8th, 9th, 2019 Comedy Bar. And you should follow me on Instagram at InstagramK. I'm going to be posting about it, and also Facebook. So check that out.
I will be doing an album recording this week, the 24th, 25th, 26th in Vancouver. Yuck Yucks. Come say hi. As always, you can follow me on Insta, Twitter, all those things. Kirk Smith Comedy, Facebook. Send me your messages. I love to hear from you guys. Have a great week, guys. You can do it.